Rabbeisa, good morning. Our limit of halacha every day is as a skus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla. He should have a refuah shleima b'kor b'soy shal chayla yisrael. So we've been learning about Hilchos Yom Tov and differentiating between the halachas of Yom Tov and the halachas of Shabbos. And we've discussed various inyonim. And we started discussing yesterday how Chazal were worried that because the oynish of Yom Tov is less severe than the onesh for doing malacha on Shabbos, and because there is you're allowed to do certain malachas on Yom Tov, for cooking, preparation of food, and that sort of thing, and because of that you're allowed to do other things as well, like carrying keys, carrying your machza, like boiling water for washing your hands or something like that. So therefore, because there are malachas that are allowed on Yom Tov, and because the punishments for Yom Tov are not as severe as Shabbos, therefore Chazal were worried that we're going to treat Yom Tov less severely, the Isurim of Yom Tov, and Chazal were therefore machmir in certain things. They were quite strict about certain things and made gezeiros in order to remind us that Yom Tov is severe. So one of the examples given is a very simple one, which is that really, we said that all malachas from kneading onwards, in the preparation of a bread, let's say, all malachas starting from kneading, starting from the mixing of the flour with the water, those malachas are mutter on Shabbos. Oh, on Yom Tov, sorry, not on Shabbos. But those malachas are mutter on Yom Tov, so you can knead a dough, you can prepare a dough, you can mix the flour and the water, prepare a dough, and then bake it. So the next thing you need to do after the kneading, after you've formed your dough, is to light a fire. Because you need a fire for baking, you need a fire for cooking. Right, so therefore, lighting a fire is going to be mutter as a malacha on Yom Tov, l'tzoyach oichel nefesh. And because of mitoich, we say that therefore it's going to be mutter for other things as well. So I can light a fire in order to heat my home, and I can light a fire in order to heat water, in order to wash my hands or to wash my dishes. But we know that we don't light a fresh fire from the beginning. And it's a Mishnah in Be'ot Perek Dalet, which says quite clearly that you can't rub stones together, you can't create the sparks, you can't light a match, and you can't light, you can't switch on a lighter on the Yom Tov in order to provide a new flame. We take a flame from an existing frame. Now, min ha-Torah, it should be mutter to light a completely new frame, a completely new flame, because that's a melacha I'm doing for the purpose of Eichel Nefesh. Afal piken, Chazal came along, and they said, nevertheless, I'm not going to allow you to do that, because although me'ikadin midoraisa, it should be mutter, in order to remind you that although I'm cooking, although I'm baking, although I'm doing malachas which are allowed on Yom Tov, but I have to remember that it's Yom Tov. I have to remember it's a hecker, if you like. It's a reminder to us that not everything is mutter. The Yom Tov isn't a hefker. That not everything is mutter in Gansen. There are other reasons, and that's the there are other reasons brought down. But one of the reasons for not lighting a flame, but taking a flame only from an existing flame. The other reasons brought down are: first of all, it's quite easy to set up a flame from before Yom Tov, and we have a principle in the Malachas of Yom Tov, even preparation of food, that anything that can be done just as well before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. So therefore, providing you lose no quality and you lose no freshness, the malacha that could be done on Erev Yom Tov has to be done on Erev Yom Tov. So lighting a flame, it's quite easy to set up a candle before Yom Tov, and therefore you've got an existing flame, and therefore you don't need to do the malacha of lighting a flame from new. Then there's the question of Noilad and Blineda. Noilad, everybody who's learnt the Gemara Be'or, the first Mishnah, everybody knows the phrase, Be'or Shanolda B'Yom Tov. What's the halacha of an egg that is laid on Yom Tov? That Blineda will look at Noilad tomorrow.
Started there the Turaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Kaf Gimel Iyar, 21st of May, Rin Harav, Rabbi Yunus and Sachs Shlita, Avas Hashem V'Yiroso. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Gross, the Sukkot Simchasa Bar Mitzvah of Yitzi Gross, which took place on Parshas Emor. He Rotzen Shizko Rolz Kenov Rav Nachas Mimenu Mekol Yotzei Chalatzehem Chos Hashvoim V'Achayelim V'Milchamo Shachzu Levotem L'Shalom B'Mheiro.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
indeed a pleasure to join you. One of the most basic mitzvos that we find in the Torah is the obligation of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah Gimel and Mitzvah Dalet. And if I were to ask you, how is it that we define those concepts and how you attain that goal, the answer really is not so simple. If you look in the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos and Mitzvah Dalet, the Rambam describes Yiras Hashem as Yiras HaOnesh. Literally, part of our Ikar Yemuna is we recognize there are consequences to that which we do, and therefore a person has to be mindful of that. Schar and Onesh. When you look in the Rambam Perek Beis of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, and the Rambam speaks about Yira, Kesad Erech Lavosu Lirasa, what is the path of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, the Rambam does not mention at all Schar, Onesh, consequence. The Rambam writes, Kishi Yizbonein Adam. A person takes a step back. You look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, the magnificent world around us, and a person is overawed by what he sees. The Rambam comments, Shekmo Shamar Damod Sova Nafshi Lelokim Lekel Chai. Fascinating. There the Rambam does not speak about Schar Onesh, but rather a concept of Yiras Haromamus. A person is overawed by the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a very simple question, that what exactly is the definition of Yira? Is it fear, or is it being overawed by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does? And maybe a more technical question as well. You know, when you learn the Rambam, from Chaim Volozhin Arai, Zchut HaMashulosh, and Simen Yud, that the Iker Limud HaRambam is not merely what the Rambam says, but where the Rambam says this. The placement of the Rambam is something which is critical. So even if you'll tell me that there are two different definitions of Yiras Hashem, one is Schar and Onesh and one is Romamus, but a very basic question, the placement of the Rambam. Why in Sefer HaMitzvos does the Rambam mention Schar Onesh, and why in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah is that the placement of the Rambam when it comes to majesty, that majestic vision, Yiras HaRomamos. If I were to ask you, where do you see indeed that there are two different forms or two different definitions of Yira? Perhaps a possibility is a Sugyam Sochim Adav Chav Beis. There the Gemara tells us the following, something stunning. Shimon HaAmsuni, Vitemi Rabbi Nechemia HaAmsuni, was Doresh every S of the Torah. Bereishis bar Elokim, Eis HaShemayim, Ve'Eis HaAretz, and continued and was Doresh every time the Torah uses the word Es. All of a sudden in Parshas Ekev, the Torah tells us, Es HaShem Lokecha Tira, and Shimon HaMsuni was somewhat stuck. How can you be Doresh? When it comes to Yiras HaShem, how can there be a ribui? Imagine, you begin with Bereishis, you get to Parshas Ekev, there are thousands of drushos of the word S. And you know, it's something which is incredible. You have thousands of drushos. It's like a lifetime's worth of work. And all of a sudden you get to one pasuk and it doesn't fit. And you turn to the Talmidim, Kishem shemekablin schar ala drisha, kach mekablin schar ala prisha. I'm wrong. The Torah Hashem is absolutely perfect. It cannot be one off. And therefore, if it doesn't fit in a single pasuk, you know what? It's an indicator that really this is absolutely not correct. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Akiva comes forward and says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Es is L'Rabbos, Talmidei Chachamim. You kind of wonder what exactly was the difficult, what was the issue of Shimon HaMsuni and Rabbi Akiva? Why is it that Shimon HaMsuni was incapable of a drasha? And Rabbi Akiva simply tells us, Es is L'Rabbos, Talmidei Chachamim. I'll even pose the question in the following way. Before you get to the pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, you have the parsha of Kriyashma. V'yahavta, Eis Hashem Elokecha. Somehow Shimon HaMsuni was able to be Doresh that S when it comes to Avas Hashem, but when it comes to Yiras Hashem, that he felt there was no possible drasha. Why indeed would that be? Why in Ava yes and why in Yira no? There's a fascinating comment of Marsha, there in Pesachim Daf Chav Beis and Yuman Daf Pei Vav, where the Marsha writes the following, that perhaps this is part of the issue. How do you define Yiras Hashem? If Yiras Hashem is defined in terms of schar, onesh, reward, punishment, that exclusively is the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. their Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, their others, their responsibility is Schar and Onesh, of course. The Rambam describes Hilchas Sanhedrin Perachov Dalet that Bez Din also, the Sanhedrin, has an obligation of enforcement, that's true. But whose domain is Schar and Onesh? That exclusively is the domain of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, how can you have a riboy? You know what the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva is? That Yira is not merely Schar and Onesh, but rather Yira has an element of Romamus, majesty. A person thinks about what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does, Tzama Nafshi Lokim Lekel Chai. If that really is true, if there's Yira Saromus, one could argue, obviously, not equating, but in that domain, one could understand L'rabos Tamidi Chachamim. A person can envision a certain encounter, and you see the majestic character of a Gadol, of a Talmid Chacham. It's possible to have a ribui when it comes to Romamus, but not when it comes to cases of Schar and Onesh. And maybe that's the give and take, the tension of the Gemara. How is it that you define Yiras Hashem, Schar and Onesh? Or do we assume there's another dimension of Yiras HaRomamus? So maybe indeed there are two different categories, two different Hagdaros. It doesn't really explain why in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam writes one, and in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam writes another. Perhaps the answer is as follows. Yiras Hashem. Is that a mitzvah? Absolutely yes. Es Hashem Elokecha, Tira, Parshas Ekev. But then there's another pasuk that at first glance seems somewhat difficult. The Torah tells us, Ma Hashem Elokecha, Sho'el Mi'imach, Ki'im Le'ira. All of a sudden, Yiras Hashem is a She'ela. It's a request. It's a bakasha. Is Yiras Hashem really a She'ela, a request, a bakasha, or is it a demand? It's a mitzvah, daraisa. Why would the Torah say, Ma Hashem Elokecha, Sho'el Mi'imach? If I mention to you, Shabbos, Kashrus, and the like, a She'ela, I'll tell you, it is an absolute Tzivui. So it's fascinating, when it comes to Yiras Hashem, the Torah speaks about a Tzivui, a mandated obligation, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, but the Torah also speaks about a She'ela, a Bakasha, a request. Well, the Hafla writes in Panim Yafos that apparently you see that there must be two dimensions of Yiras Hashem. One which is an absolute Tzivui, and the other, which is indeed a bakasha. I would suggest that that fits in so magnificently with the Rambam. In Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam emphasizes the tzivui of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. The tzivui of Es Hashem Elokecha is schar and onesh. Realize the consequence of our actions. That's clear. That is mandated. That is a mitzvah. That is a tzivui. In Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, there the Rambam deals with the idyllic form of Avodas Hashem. Why are you serving Kadosh Baruch Hu? Only because of Schar and Onesh, because there's consequence to what I do. That no doubt is necessary, but that is not the ideal motivation in terms of Avas Hashem. And therefore not in Sefer HaMitzvos, but rather in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the foundation of. The Rambam writes, when you realize what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does, and you get a glimpse of possibly who a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, how can you not serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu with an absolute sense of a midas aromos? And therefore not merely the two definitions, but the exquisite placement of the Rambam itself. Why indeed the Rambam writes Schar and Onesh and Sefer HaMitzvos. And in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam writes Heichi HaDerech Lavaso Uliraso. The same is true when it comes to Avas Hashem. If I ask you that, how does one attain Avas Hashem? When you look in the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Rambam and Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam describes different paths. Different paths. In Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Gimel, the Rambam writes, you know how you reach Avas Hashem? Esek BaTorah and Asiyas HaMitzvos. Torah and Mitzvos is the path of Avas Hashem. After all, Kriya Shema, V'yahavta, and then the pasuk continues, V'hayu hadvaram eila shenochi mitzav chayom al levavecha. The path, the tool, the vehicle of Avas Hashem, Esek BaTorah, Shmiras HaMitzvos, that's clear. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Heichi haderech la'avaso ulriyasa. Oh, the Rambam writes again, Kishizbonin Adam. When you see what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does, how can that not elicit a sense of incredibly passionate, Avas Hashem. And here as well, the Rambam seems to have a dual focus, not only of Yiras Hashem, but a dual focus of Avas Hashem as well. What is the source of that? And how exactly do you understand that? If I were to ask the Rambam, where do you see that there are two different forms of Avas Hashem? Kishizvon in Adam, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu accomplishes in the world, what he does, HaMachanish B'tuvo, and Esek B'Torah and Shmiras HaMitzvos, perhaps the answer would be as follows. You know, there's a fascinating machlokes, the Rambam, the Ravid, and others. When you have a Sfeika Daraisa, we assume Safik Daraisa is L'Chumra. A Safik D'Rabbanan is L'Kula, Clear. Many Sugyas, Brachas Chafalif. What about the following? A person has a Safik regarding a Mitzvah Daraisa. And you're going to paskin Sfeika Daraisa L'Chumra. Do you make a bracha on Sveika Daraisa L'Chumra? If it was just a Safik bracha, I would say don't repeat the bracha. This is not a Safik bracha. This is a Safik in a mitzvah. And I'm going to paskin Sveika Daraisa is L'Chumra. Once you paskin Sveika Daraisa L'Chumra, do you recite a bracha in that case? The Rambam discusses this five different times. Maybe somewhat surprising. You know what the psak of the Rambam is? No. Yes. In four places, the Rambam writes, Sveika Daraisa, do not repeat a bracha. Do not repeat a bracha. And in one place, the Rambam writes that you do recite a bracha. If you look, for example, in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tzitzis, the Rambam writes you have a suffik when it comes to tzitzis. You're obligated, yes, too, but don't make a bracha. A suffik bracha is the kula. The Rambam writes in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Mila, you have a suffik regarding bris mila. Perform the mila misafik, but don't recite a bracha. The Rambam writes, Perek Yidal de Filchus Shechita, you have an animal, a koi. That's a Safik Chai, a Safik Behema. You do the Shechita. You have to engage in Kisi Adam, Misafik. But the Rambam writes, Enu Mevarech. Don't recite the Bracha on Kisi Adam. Rambam Perek Vav Filchus Sukkah, Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres. When there was a real Safik, whether it was day 7 of Sukkot or day 8 of Sukkot, what do you do when it comes to the mitzvah Yeshiva B'Sukkah? Sveika Darais L'Chumra, you have to sit in Sukkah, but don't recite a bracha. Mesev Yasvinan, Bruchin Loma Varchinan. Those are the four places that the Rambam writes that you split the Safek mitzvah, the Safek bracha. Mitzvah must be repeated, but the bracha is not recited. All of a sudden now, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel, of Hilchos Kriyashma. Hilchos Kriyashma. Safek kara kriyashma, safek lo kara. Sugyan brachas taf chaf aleph. Kriyashma, the Rambam writes, is daraisa. That's a machlokis in brachas chaf aleph. But the Rambam passes that kriyashma, of course, is a mitzvah min haTorah. You have a safek regarding kriyashma. So you have to repeat kriyashma. Sveika daraisa l'chumra. Safek kara kriyashma, safek lo kara. Chozer v'kore. You have to repeat the kriyashma. Umevarech lefonel achraha. And you recite birchus kriyashma. Kriyashma is the exception of the Rambam, where Sveika Darais L'Chumra means you have to repeat Kriyashma, and you have to recite Kriyashma over Choseha. You have to recite the brachos as well. You know what you see from that Rambam? That the relationship between Kriyashma and Birchos Kriyashma is not just simply a Birchas HaMitzvah on the Mitzvah of Kriyashma. If it was a Birchas HaMitzvah on Kriyashma, I would equate that with a typical Birchas HaMitzvah, where do the mitzvah, but don't repeat the bracha. You know what you see according to the Rambam? Something very, very different. I'll give you an example. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Kuf Pei Dalet. A person eats a full meal, and he has a suffix regarding benching, regarding Birchas HaMazon. You're going to paskin Sveika Darais L'Chumra, you have to bench again. The person asks you a very simple question. What do I recite? All the benching. Part of benching is Min HaTorah. But part of benching is only D'Rabbanan, not the entire nusach of benching is midaraisa. You know what you're going to tell the person? Oh, shochra kufeidale, that you have to bench again, recite the entire benching. Recite all of Birchas HaMazon. Because Birchas HaMazon b'shlemusa is the entire text of Birchas HaMazon as we have. You know what the chiddush of the Rambam is? Birchas Kriyashma is not just merely a secondary, an ancillary, a separate bracha on Kriyashma, but that's part of the mitzvah of Kriyashma. Part of the mitzvah of Kriyashma is not just Kriyashma. Kriyashma Birchoseha. When Chazal established Birchos Kriyashma, holistically it was the shlemus, the totality of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemaim. The Torah insists on Kriya Shema, and the Chum expanded, elaborated, embellished the Kriya Shema, flanking it by the Birchos Kriya Shema. Not as a separate bracha, but rather as part of the Kriya Shema in and of itself. And therefore the Rambam writes, Sveika Darais Lachum requires that not only repeating Kriya Shema, but you repeat Birchos Kriya Shema as well. So I'll tell you the following. If that really is true, Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. Kriya Shema is Avas Hashem V'Ahavta. If I want to know what indeed is part of Avas Hashem, I'll tell you an amazing address. That if the Chachamim established Birchos Kriya Shema as part of the Kriya Shema itself, so if I want insight into what is Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim and what is Avas Hashem, you know where I would begin? I would begin with Birchos Kriya Shema. Birchos Kriya Shema. So let's begin with Birchos Kriya Shema. You know, you finish Yishtabach, all of a sudden, Yotzer Or Avor HaChoshech, Yotzer Hamoros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a majestic world. You'll ask me, undeniably that's true, but what does that have to do with Kriya Shema? You know what the answer is? Heichi HaDerech LaVosu LiRasov. How is it that you attain that goal of Avos Hashem? Kishis Bonin Adam. Look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. Yotzer Or, Vorechosach, HaMechadish B'tuva B'choyam Tamid. That is not merely simply a reflection of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. That's a tool, that's a vehicle, that's a means of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, Avas Hashem. I finish Yotzer Moros. I recite Kriya Shema. No. Avar Abba. Lilmod, Ulamed, Lishmo, Lasso, Sulukayim, Esek Batorah, Shmiras HaMitzvos. You want to position yourself for Avas Hashem? Those are the two dinim of the Rambam. Kishi Yizvon in Adam, that's clear. A path of Avas Hashem. But realize, Avas Hashem isn't Sefer HaMitzvos. Esek Batorah, Shmiras HaMitzvos. And therefore Chazal tell us, before you begin with Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, before you begin with Avas Hashem, recognize, Kishi Yizvon in Adam. How what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in this magnificent world, our obligation of Esek Batorah, Shmiras HaMitzvos, and now you can begin with Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. I'll tell you a fascinating machlokas. We know the Pasuk of Kriya Shema. That's Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. What part of the Pasuk of Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim? If you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, Taf Yud Zayin, Avud Raham, they emphasize different parts of the Pasuk. You know what Avud Raham writes? Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Elokeinu, that's Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. Sefer HaChinuch, Tav Yud Zayin, Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You know what one could suggest? Those are the two elements of the Rambam. When I think about our obligation of Esek Batorah and Shmiras HaMitzvos, that's uniquely ours. That I will tell you is Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem Echad, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is one. You know where that's obvious and evident? Kishi Yizvon in Adam. Yotzer Or V'Rechoshech. You look at the symmetry, the holistic nature of everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Sama Nafshi L'Elokim L'Kel Chai. That elicits an amazing sense of the Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore perhaps the two brachos preceding Kriya Shema and the two elements of Avas Hashem, that indeed is the Rambam's view. Is there a difference between Shmiras HaMitzvos, Esek Batorah, and understanding the world? I will tell you, absolutely yes. When you look on the Rambam carefully, the Rambam uses a different term. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos uses the term of the Ava HaMechuyeves, the mandated, the necessary Ava. That's Esek Batorah and Shmiras HaMitzvos. When you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah, there the Rambam speaks about an Ava HaRe'uya, an appropriate path of Avas Hashem. Esek Batorah and Shmiras HaMitzvos, you cannot compromise. You cannot do without. That is the mandated tzivui of Avas Hashem. But the Rambam writes, Kishi Yizvon in Adam. It is appropriate, it's ru'uya, it's fitting in order to understand holistically what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and let that be a tool of Avas Hashem. So amazing, when it comes to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, there is a tzivui, and there also is a she'ela, a bakasha, there is discretion. Why indeed is that true? Why is there discretion? Discretion. Here I'll tell you what I think is a beautiful chiddush of the Stipler. It's found in different contexts, Birchas Peretz and Parshas Vayikra. The Stipler is bothered by the following. Parshas Vayikra, the Torah introduces us to Torah's Kohanim, to Karbanos. There's certain Karbanos that you must absolutely offer. There's certain Karbanos that are discretionary. Discretionary. There's no obligation whatsoever, but there are opportunities. And that's not only true of Karbanos. There are certain parshios of the Torah that are absolutely mandated, you must, and there are certain parshios of the Torah that there's a built-in discretion that you may. The Torah has a parsha of Nazir. You're not obligated to do so, but you know what? Indeed is an option. The Torah tells us, at times you're obligated to be mafresh truma, and I ask you, what is the shear of truma? You'll tell me, chita achas poteres ha-sakri, one grain. The amount is really up to you. When Chazal were koveya tefillah, brachos chav zayin, the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, shachris and mincha is a chov and tefillah sarvis is a rishus. How do you understand mili de rishus? How do you understand discretion? You know, to put the question differently, I would say as follows. If this is really necessary, let the Torah demand. Let the Torah insist. And if you're going to tell me, not really necessary, why is it included in the Torah session? A very simple question. Why does the Torah have mili derishos? Those themes, those parshios that indeed are a matter of choice. They're subject to discretion. The Stipler writes as follows. The Torah wants you to develop a sense of avas Hashem. Avas Hashem. How do you develop avas Hashem? How is that possible? Imagine... Your daughter is going out, in a prospective chassan, and you turn to the chassan, you know, it's part of your achrayas, no, and you say, what are you prepared to do for my daughter? And imagine he'll tell you only that which is absolutely necessary, and not anything more, not anything more. Only that which is demanded, only that which is mandated, but don't count on me for anything else. You know, he would last a second. No, that's ava, that's a mid of ava. Only that which is demanded. Avas Hashem by definition means overreaching. It means discretion. In life, if a person's going to try to get by with only that which is demanded and nothing more, nothing more, it could very well be schar, onesh, that's true. But would you really describe that as a person who's an ohev Hashem? Ava by definition means overreaching. Ava means exercising discretion. Why do you think I daven? Only because I must. Because there's a mitzvah of davening. Because the Rambam writes, mitzvah se yispala b'chol yom. And therefore, schar and onesh. If I don't daven, there's a consequence. That's your motivation in davening. If that's your motivation in davening, I'll tell you there's something missing about the quality, about the character of that tefillah. How can you envision avodas Hashem without tefillah? Regardless of whether it's a mitzvah or whether it's not. The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, incredibly, does not have a mitzvah of tefillah. The Rambam has mitzvah hey, and the Ramban is masig. There's no obligation of davening on a regular basis. Maybe be'es sarah, and even that, the Ramban does not count in Sefer HaMitzvos. If you were to ask the Ramban, how do you have tarya mitzvahs without davening? You know what the Ramban would tell you? You daven because you must. You daven because it's a mitzvah. You daven because you recognize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, who we are, the opportunity. Davening is a privilege. Davening is not only a tzivui. No. And Avas Hashem means that you embrace Avodas Hashem in a discretionary fashion by overreaching. So Chazal gave us an amazing opportunity. Obviously, in a magnificent, deliberate way. When we're establishing tefillah, Shachris and Marev is, Mincha is going to be a Tefillah Schova, but Marev is going to be a Rishus. We're going to build the character of Rishus into the obligation of Tefillah. You're offering a carbon the Beis HaMikdash. Not only because you must. I need Kapara. I committed a Chet. I have to offer a carbon. This is an opportunity of being Bifnei Hashem. An opportunity of becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu only because there's a Tzivui. And therefore the Torah tells us there are karbanos that are shamei nedava. There are karbanos that are in olas nedava. They're discretionary karbanos. You go and you give the truma to the kohen only because you must. Because if I'm not mafresh truma, I can't partake of the kri. Do you value the role of the kohen? Do you value the kedusha of mikdash? That's an opportunity to exercise discretion, to be able to give the kohen truma above and beyond chitachas poteres hasakri. Avas Hashem demands discretion. Avas Hashem, yiras Hashem, cannot only be a tzivui. There must be ma Hashem elokecha shoel mimach. There has to be a she'ela, a bakasha. And not at all surprising that the Rambam has a tzivui of avas Hashem and yiras Hashem, and the Rambam has an ava haru'uya, a discretionary avas Hashem and yiras Hashem, that a person is obligated to perform, and then a person, yes, has an opportunity to be able to overreach in terms of avodas Hashem. That certainly is true when it comes to every opportunity. After all, that we recognize that there's an element of avdus in avodas Hashem, or an evid neman, but also there's an element of ava as well. You know, at the time of Mamad Har Sinai, as we prepare for Shavuos, Bnei Yisrael responded in Parshas Mishpatim, Naaseh V'Nishma, Naaseh V'Nishma. I'll tell you something that I think is amazing. Who says Naaseh V'Nishma? Who says Naaseh V'Nishma? A typical person, when he's asked to do something, the answer is yes, without any understanding whatsoever, really. And normally, you know, you take a step back, you consider, you think, and then you respond. Who would ever respond, Naaseh V'Nishma? I'll tell you, there's a Svarno and a Rashi. They write different examples. And I think when it comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, both are absolutely true. The Svarno writes in Parshas Mishpatim, you know who says Naaseh V'Nishma? An Eved. An Eved. You're an Eved. You have no right of refusal. You cannot say no. So when an Adon turns to an Eved and says, are you willing to? You know what the answer is? Absolutely yes. You don't even know what I'm going to ask you to do, but the answer, do I really have a choice? I'm an Eved. I must do so. That's clear. So the Sfarno writes that Naaseh V'Nishma is an indicator that we're an Eved. We're an Eved Hashem. That's clear. Rashi writes something different. Shabbos Pei Chesem Ud Beis. Rashi writes, you know who says Naaseh V'Nishma? In Ohev, you want to demonstrate Ava. You know what the answer is? Absolutely yes. I'll make it work. You know, maybe it doesn't seem so easy, but you know what? If a person is motivated by Amidas Ava, when you're asked, the answer is absolutely yes. Rashi writes, Kederach Ha'osim Me'av. Kederach Ha'osim Me'av. When you think about an Eved, and you think about Ava, those two things don't really seem to go together. I usually associate avdus with yira, not with a sense of avva. You know what I'll tell you? That's true when you're dealing with an interpersonal relationship. A relationship between an individual and another, a fellow man. When you're dealing with Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no contradiction of being an eved and an ohev. Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelko ki eved neman karasala. The simcha of being an eved. Lo kein avdi Moshe b'chobesi nemanu. If I were to ask you, what is our role in terms of our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know what the answer is? To be an Eved who serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be Ava. There's no contradiction between Avdus and Ava. You know, the Sfasemis once in Sukkis turned to his Balabatim before Hallel. Sukkis is one Simchasenu. Hallel, the Ramban writes, is a manifestation of Simcha, and said, when you get to Ana Hashem, express the joy of, and all of a sudden, Hallel began. They got to Ana Hashem Oshiana, half of the Tzibur responded. Ana Hashem Atzlichana, the other half of the Tzibur responded. And imagine after the Hallel, the tumult, who is right? Who is right? They were both wrong. The Sfasemis meant earlier, Ana Hashem Kieni Avdecha, the Simcha of being an Eved Hashem. And I'll tell you something amazing. There's a Radak in Tilim, Kuftazayim. How do you spell the word Ana? And Hallel, how do you spell the word Ana? Did you ever notice Hoshina Slichana, Aleph Nun, Aleph. Anah Hashem Kini Avdecha earlier, Aleph Nun Hey. What's the difference in Aleph Nun Aleph and Aleph Nun Hey? Mefurish and Radak. Aleph Nun Aleph is please. Hoshina Slichana. Aleph Nun Hey is Hoda. Thank you. Thank you. Hoshina Slichana, we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anah Hashem Kini Avdecha. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the source of being in Eved. In Eved Neman, Yismach Moshe Matnes Chelko Keved Neman Karasala. The Simcha of Avdus. There's an amazing Tosus. Menachos Daf Mem Gimel. Tefillin represents Malchus. You're a Melech. Tefillin is a Pe'er. Percha Chavosh Alecha. Rachman Litzlan, a person. Is an avelus, yom rishon, you don't wear tefillin. You can't adorn yourself. Tefillin is an adornment. If tefillin is an adornment, brachos yid aleph, what exactly is talis? Talis? You know what Tosfos writes, Menachos Mem Gimel? Talis is a beged of avdus. Of avdus. You're an eved, you wear a type of clothing that associates you with an adon. We wear our talis and our tefillin. That's the convergence, the confluence of avdus and ava. We're an Eved Hashem, and we're a Ben Melech. And that is part of Avodas Hashem. And I'll just conclude with just a simple thought. You know, maybe you'll tell me that there seems to be a certain tension. Because tefillin, I must. Tefillin, I must. How can you not wear tefillin? You're obligated talis? There's discretion built into talis. I'm obligated to wear a talis. If I don a beged of dal kamfos, I'm obligated to have tzitzis. If not, then not. It's amazing. There's discretion built into talis, not when it comes to tefillin. Yeah, but talis is the beged of avdus, Tosfos writes. And tefillin is the pe'er, it's the dormant. You're a ben melech. You know what I think the answer is? Exactly that point. It's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands that you see yourself as a ben melech. And it's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachal requests sho'ol mi'imach that you see yourself as an Eved Hashem. Because if I ask you, why are you an Eved Hashem? The answer cannot be, only because of Schar and On. I have no choice. That's not the type of Avdus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires the Avdus of Kederech Ha'osim Me'ava. So the very beged of Avdus, which is the Talis, there's a built-in discretion that, you know, you have to don this beged. And if you do so, now you become obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis. That convergence, the two Rambams, the two brachos of Kriya Shema, the two definitions, Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, Rashi, the Sforno, Talis, Tfilin, all of that speaks to the mission of Avodas Hashem. Ano Hashem Keni Avdecha. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu incessantly for the schus of being an Eved Hashem. Thank you.